Hour number two of Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Well, it was a fun first hour talking mostly football. Let's get into the weekend poll question here. I asked you people, and you still have about 10 minutes to vote. What is a better product today, men's college basketball or the NBA? And the narrative is being pushed out very, very well today, Nick Frazier. As we stand today, in this moment, 10:03 on November 8th, men's college basketball leads the poll. 92.9% of you say that college basketball is a better product than the NBA, and I am so proud of our audience because it's 1,000% true. The NBA is a horrible product. I don't care what people say. It's not fun to watch. It's boring basketball. And they market it as these are the best players in the world. And sure, maybe they are. But they don't play defense. And it's just a boring overall game. And I think you don't have the characters anymore. Like Michael Jordan was a character. Mm-hmm. I guess LeBron is a character, but you don't have the greatness that you saw in the days of old. You don't have Kobe Bryant or Tim Duncan anymore. Even when we were growing up, Frazier, it was, you know, Stephen Curry was in his prime and LeBron was in his prime. And you had guys across the league, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, guys like that. And they're all old now and they're still playing, but just not the same game. They don't care.
Yeah, for me, when I was a kid, I'd say like Ray Allen, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul,
yeah,
the Banana Boat guys. They were in their prime, and obviously you had the back end of Dirk Nowitzki, the Spurs trifecta with Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Paul Gasol, like you said, Kobe Bryant. Those for me were my childhood like basketball core memories of watching in the NBA. And you're right, the product has definitely devalued itself. I wouldn't say the people watching it have devalued the product. I'd say the product itself has devalued it. I think the NBA on NBC is a huge plus. The NBA on Prime is a huge plus to grow the game of basketball again. You've probably seen those videos of, you know, Michael Jordan with his sit-downs with Mike Tirico.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
They're really good.
And it goes back to what he said in that first little video. I owe the game of basketball. Like, I don't have to do anything to really do it, but I feel like it's my duty to owe this back to the game of basketball. And he's absolutely right because, like you said, the product is so devalued right now that you bring a guy like Michael Jordan's name back into it, everybody turns the TV on. It's must-watch TV because he's been so detached from the game for so long that everybody wants to see what Jordan has to say because of what he did on the court 20-30 years ago. Even to his point about when he went to the Ryder Cup and shot a free throw. That was the first time I shot a free throw in, you know, X amount of years.
Yeah.
And he said he still got it. And that just everybody that watched that video knows he still got that dog in
him,
as some would say.
He's still got the competitive edge. I mean, on the flip side, of course I'm biased towards college basketball.
Sure.
That's my thing. But there is no comparison for me between college sports and professional sports across any level. The only sport that I think I would prefer professionally over college is baseball.
Yeah.
Just because of the tradition and the pageantry, and I don't think baseball has been the sport that has devalued itself. Maybe it did because it refused to grow, but now that the game is adapting to the modern times and in majors, it is fun to watch now.
Yeah.
I would prefer college to the NFL. As much as I love the NFL, college is supreme because of the traditions and the atmosphere. College basketball is the same way, and I think the game is more grounded and easier to watch. It's just a bunch of kids out there. And I understand a lot of people are, well, I don't want to, you know, get invested on a bunch of 18-year-old kids playing basketball. I was like, that's more fun to me.
Yeah.
Because these guys, granted, college sports has become more professionalized in a roundabout way with NIL. It's still, at its core, the same sport. There's nothing better to me than hearing your team go on a nice run and hearing that fight song play at the timeout. There's just something about it. And the NBA doesn't have that. And I think it's changed because now they play the stupid music while the game is going on. It's dumb. The crowds aren't into it. They don't really care. Obviously, the players aren't into it either. They just loaf around on defense. It's not a good product.
Yeah.
And I think I don't want to fully blame Adam Silver, but the way he's tried to modernize this and get people to care with your NBA Cup that no one cares about and is awful, with your play-in tournament that basically puts more than half the league in the playoffs so they're not playing for anything. Load management is a thing that has come up with him, and it's stupid. There's just so many factors that play into it, and the season's too long, in my opinion. There's just too many factors that play into it that make me not want to watch the NBA. And I think part of it is the closest team we have to here is out west of us, mm-hmm. over in Memphis. Maybe it's locality, but I just can't get into it. For me.
Yeah, you make a good point there. And I'm going to start with the college aspect of it. There's still, you mentioned, you know, the product is just better in some eyes. To me, I think it you know, mentions the professionalism and so forth. But also, there's still that factor of amateurism. You mentioned, do you still value the 17- and 18-year-old basketball players out on the court that make you want to watch? Absolutely. Because there's that small room for error that everybody loves to see. Can this no-name seventh player off the bench hit a three-pointer to tie the game? That's what everybody loves to see in college basketball. And it's just that small little storyline. Whereas for the NBA, they've already proved their talents, and to bode, you know, your point even stronger there, Connor, is that what is there to play for? I think that's the point everybody tends to not really forget about, but just shrug off to the side because it's kind of a grandfathered in thought. What do the NBA players have to play for? Because
money, that's it.
Yeah.
But they're getting paid regardless, so it doesn't matter.
Right. And then you look at, is the NBA Finals as valuable as it used to be?
Nope.
And I think that's why the whole Michael Jordan sit-downs with Mike Tirico bring the value of NBA basketball back a little bit, because he is what NBA basketball is. He is the life and blood, the heart of that league. And it's unfortunate that you have to do that with one of the greatest players on earth to come back and do TV interviews, because obviously, yes, it's great for the next future. Maybe if he's able to critique some players time and time again on that broadcast, it'll help light a fire under some of those current players. And maybe that does help out the product. But overall, he's even mentioned it. The product has changed a little bit. And I don't know. I mean, even he said if he would turn back time when he was 30 years old, he'd probably still be out there running circles around these guys.
He still wants to play.
Absolutely.
The only reason he's not playing is because he's 60.
Yeah.
That's why. Texting on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, again, 615-737-1025. It says, NBA is cringe because of Silver. He created and catered to the environment that LeBron James brought. Players complaining about playing 82 games while making $40 million a year drives the average fan away. 100%. I mean, they don't care to be out there. The college players, the ones that buy in, do. Now, obviously, you're going to have some duds. You're going to have ones. Did you see the video? This is football, but did you see the video of Zach Calzada over the week?
Mm-mm.
Zach Calzada basically...
ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Calzada was Kentucky's starting quarterback this season, got benched for a freshman, and is now going on Twitter and flexing his NIL money in cash.
It's not good.
Not a good
thing. It basically looked like he just went to the bank and withdrew like $3,000 just for that video.
Well, there was an accountant that looked at... like, he went frame by frame and looked at every single dollar bill. It amounted to a total of $3,000.
Could have been just a weekly check.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Not a good look, though.
But regardless, my point is there are players out there in college that are just there for the check. But it seems like there's vastly more of that in the NBA than there is college. A lot of them just play for the love of the game. And that's the heart and soul of college sports.
Why do you think, I don't have to ask you the question, but you know why there are a lot of current NBA, not NBA, but current college players and G League players that go to Europe and play. Like, there's a little bit more.
Well, some of them can't make it in the pro scheme. But.
Correct, but European basketball has kind of taken a little bit more precedent, I wouldn't say over the NBA, but why do you think the NBA is doing all these European games and, you know, the Asian games?
Because they're trying to grow the game to a world audience.
Obviously they are, but there is a huge, huge fan base in a lot of those markets. And obviously drives NBA numbers for sure. But you go look at those native, you know, leagues, they are jam-packed with audiences, especially in the European leagues, like the Turkish leagues, the French leagues, the Spanish leagues. I mean, it's a soccer atmosphere. They got flares inside the buildings.
Yeah.
They're going crazy, jumping up and down. Like, to me, that is what college basketball is at a professional level.
No, I agree. It's the environment, right? You can go across the biggest places to play in the country. Obviously, Kentucky is one, but Duke has more culture than any NBA game will ever have.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina, Kansas, even some of these smaller schools. Cincinnati has tradition that an NBA team does not have. And I think that's what makes college sports so special. And quite frankly, what makes the NBA so bland is they don't care about that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Speaking of basketball, it's my show, damn it. So I'm making the grid. And I'm taking control of the topics. Let's talk a little college ball, ladies and gentlemen. The SEC is poised to be a gauntlet this year, again, as it was last year. Maybe not the way that it was, but I want to go through some SEC contenders and pretenders in the sport of college basketball. That's all coming up next, right here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on 102.5 The Game.
Oh my God, the chills are coming down my body.
It's beautiful.
The greatest theme song in the history of sports. Tonight's college football game of the week is LSU versus Alabama at 6:30 p.m. on 102.5 The Game, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. Let's talk a little bit of college basketball, ladies and gentlemen. America's favorite sport, and by America, I mean me, but I am America. That would be such a good out-of-context thing to go in my file right there.
But you are an American. You bleed.
I'm proud to be an American.
There you go.
Where at least I know I'm free.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't forget the men who died. All right, that's enough of that. The SEC is poised to be, again, the top conference in the entire country this year when it comes to college basketball. Not quite as loaded as last year, as which 14 of 16 teams got into the tournament. But regardless, it is going to be loaded. So I have comprised a list of contenders and pretenders that us three will all go through as far as who is there and who is not. So we'll begin with everyone's favorite team, except for mine and except for yours, the Tennessee Volunteers. Are they contenders or pretenders this year in the SEC, not just in the SEC, in the national scheme of things?
I'm going to have to say no. I think competition outside the SEC has gotten stronger. And in my opinion, I think Tennessee has maybe taken a step back in recent years. But again, I'm not boots on the ground in Knoxville. Maybe Christian Skelton has more to add to that than I do, but I'm going to have to say pretenders for sure.
Here's where I'm at on this team right now. The Mercer game was not great. 19 turnovers, not great.
Everyone plays bad in their first
game.
That's
my thing, though. I try to tell myself, okay, no matter what happens here, I'm not going to overreact largely one way or another. I try to always tell myself that. And the thing is with Tennessee, like, I don't really think we're going to know for a while because our non-conference schedule is very, very deep, but it's not deep until after these first five games. Like today we play Northern Colorado or something.
Northern Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah.
The Norse.
I knew it was a northern team of some kind. I
back
couldn't remember.
Back-to-back North games. Kentucky and Northern Florida.
Wait, did you say at Northern Kentucky?
No, I don't think I did.
You did, but it's back-to-back.
I'm sorry.
You're good.
Yeah, because they have like a four-game homestand or something.
Yeah, and then like Rice is in there, I think, too. We're not going to know a ton. But then later on you get Houston. Illinois again here at Bridgestone Arena. So, you know, you're going to know, I think, by conference play starts at least a little bit. And, like, something you've dealt with, Connor, as a Kentucky fan, I think it could kind of be like one of your classic Cal teams where, like, they get there, it just takes them a while to get there. Because, you know, it's a completely new team pretty much for the most part.
They're not machines.
No, not at all.
I like my team. These are callisms.
No, yes, of course. Yeah, I just think what I mean by that is I think it's going to take a while for them all to gel. Just because, you know, most of these guys are pretty young guys for the most part, most of our key players this year are going to be. And most of them haven't played as a team like this before. You know, no Zakai this year, no Meshack this year. So I think from that standpoint, it may take them a while to gel. And as you say, pretender, contender, I would put us as a contender to get to the second weekend. Anything past that, who knows? Probably not, but we'll see.
Yeah, I would say it's tough because we're so far away from actually knowing who's a contender or a pretender. But I would say they're contenders in the SEC. Here's how I would do this as far as tiers. I think there are three SEC teams that are just the top tier above everyone else, and that's Kentucky, Florida, and Arkansas. Those are the three teams that I think are outright the best teams in the conference.
Wow, you included Arkansas. Does it hurt a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. Tennessee, I would put right on the fringe of that second tier. Not quite top contenders, but they can get there if they have the ability to gel. If I were to pick where they're going to be in March, I would pick them as probably a 3 or a 4 seed. They're going to get it, and they're going to make some noise in the SEC this year because I think I like their guards. I like Jacoby Gillespie. I think he's going to be pretty good for them coming out of Maryland. Nate Ament, of course, is their guy who's no one actually knows if he's actually the number one recruit in the nation or not because it changes every single day. But regardless, he's going to be a top priority for them to get the ball to. If you were to ask me nationally, I would probably say pretenders. But as far as the SEC, I think they're contenders to win that league. Because I think they play Rick Barnes-style basketball that always seems to work for them in the SEC. There's another team in the SEC that I think is interesting as far as contenders or pretenders, and that's the team out in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They lose a lot of talent. No more Mark Sears, no more of these guards that they've been using. It is a very young Alabama team. I'm curious to see where you swing on this.
Look, this may just, like, to Christian's point about Tennessee not taking care of business against Mercer, that was, what, a 76-62 ball game?
Something like that, yeah.
I look at this Alabama team, again, as, and you mentioned they lost a lot this past offseason. I look at this as a somewhat of a contender, and not as, like, a championship contender, but more of a team that can prove themselves in being a contender.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a pretender-type team. I mean, when you – here's my thing, and this is probably a bad rule of thumb when it comes to looking at box scores in college basketball, but if you can take care of business against those no-name teams like in North Dakota, 91-62, and you're winning by 30-plus points, if you're winning by 30-plus points, to me that shows me you're strutting your feathers. You do have talent on this ball club, and this overall, this bench might be a little deeper than people think. So that's how I look at it after one game. Again, these are all way into the deep ether of the future, but that's how I feel about Alabama this year.
Yeah, Alabama is interesting to me. I think they're pretenders. I think they're going to take a step back during this year. They don't have that elite talent that they've had, like Brandon Miller or Mark Sears or any of those guys. They're all gone. And look, Nate Oates is not a good defensive coach, despite what many Alabama fans, including one of my friends, will tell you. He's not a good defensive coach. Nate Oates' teams never play defense, except like 5 years ago that one time. I just don't think they're going to be that kind of team. I could see them getting in as like a 5 or a 6 seed maybe, but I just don't feel that their window's closed, if that makes sense.
I guess that's why I phrased it like they're contenders to prove something this year. And plus, like, their next 4 games are definitely against top 25 teams. Obviously, St. John's is on the 8th, which is tomorrow? No, today. Today is the 8th, excuse me.
Oh, I'll be locked in.
They have St. John's today. They got Purdue on the 13th, Illinois on the 9th.
They've got a rough 7-game stretch here.
And then Gonzaga on the 24th. So all those are back-to-back top 25 games. 2 of them are back-to-back top 5 games, St. John's and Purdue. So, again, I think after that gauntlet of games, you'll see the true colors of Alabama.
Yeah.
I think them and Tennessee are similar in a sense of, like, both have very familiar faces of their program that are gone now, and you kind of don't know what they're going to be now, and it's kind of, you know, a lot of unknowns, basically. I think that's why them and Tennessee are similar from that standpoint.
Yeah, I would put Tennessee ahead of them. I really would. I think Tennessee has more youth on their side. I think They have the perfect combination of youth and experience. Not perfect, but they have a good combination of youth and experience. I like Jacoby Gillespie, like I said. There's just not really anyone on Alabama, I feel like, is capable of taking over a game. So that's kind of where I stand. I think their window is closing and closing rapidly. Speaking of teams whose windows have closed rapidly, the Auburn Tigers. I saw a Bruce Pearl lookalike last night, but that's not the point. Bruce Pearl retires, hands the reins to his boy, Stephen Pearl, who I think is an awful coach. They are in a similar boat. They lose a lot of talent. They lose guys to the portal. They lose guys to the draft. This isn't your number one overall seed Auburn Tigers anymore. So I definitely think they're pretenders. I could honestly see a world where they don't make the tournament.
Yeah, I agree to that. I think they are pretenders, primarily because you mentioned how Bruce Pearl retires, but also, too, I think Pearl left his son in a bad situation to the point of, does he really understand the true concept of transfer portal and NIL money? How are you able to structure out your true basketball roster? Sure, obviously everybody has a competent brain. They know how to structure numbers and stuff, so forth. But at the same time, it's a whole another ball game when it comes to stuff like that as a head coach. Mm-hmm. So, again, I think he just gave his son the little baptism by fire treatment and left that program, I wouldn't say in flames, but definitely not in a good position to win. So I'd have to go pretender.
The biggest thing I can say about Stephen Pearl is, boys, he hated in Knoxville. People do not like, they hate him more than Bruce. Big time. A lot of people still like Bruce, but people hate Stephen Pearl.
Who's more hated in Knoxville, Bruce Pearl or Lane Kiffin?
Definitely Kiffin. Really? Although both of them, in a way, aren't really as hated as they used to be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like that, we both kind of had love for them in our own ways.
I don't know.
In my opinion.
I'm with Christian on this. I think after we saw that Ole Miss game where everybody's throwing the beer bottles and stuff, that really showed the true colors of who was hated.
And
more.
The difference is, I think Bruce didn't want to leave. And Bruce didn't choose to leave.
Yeah.
Like, Bruce, I mean, I guess you could say he did with the barbecue and everything, but he didn't willfully say, I want to leave, I'm leaving. He was kind of forced out. This is what I'm trying to say.
All right. Here's the part where you guys just make me happy. Kentucky Wildcats. Contender, pretender.
They're contenders, Connor.
Contender.
They're a deep team this year. They've acquired a lot more talent. And, again, like I said before with the Tennessee team, like, you take care of business against teams that have no names on them and you're winning, like, 100 points to 40, 100 points to 60. That shows me you're strutting your colors and you want to say, hey, anybody that wants to come to the big house, not big house per se, but, like,
not the big house.
Yeah, not the big house, but come to Rupp Arena. Yeah, you're going to have a hard time winning a basketball game here.
I mean, take my opinion with a grain of salt because I'm biased here. But
sure.
They're contenders.
No way.
I mean, look at the team that they put together. It is, again, not the perfect combination, but it is an elite combination of experience and youth. You've got five-star freshmen coming off the bench, if that tells you anything. So
yeah.
They will be a fun team to watch, and it'll be fun to see Mark Pope in year two. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, just because we can, let's do our way too early Final Four predictions. Also, who is the dark horse across the nation in college basketball? Sound good?
I love it.
Sound good. All right. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. That's all coming up next right here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. White Girl Friday was yesterday, by the way. This is like early.
Sorry.
This is like early White Girl Friday stuff.
Would you really add that in that
Absolutely.
Category?
Absolutely. This is really? Footloose.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't know if I'd add that in that category.
I don't know.
I think it's just kind of just whatever.
Have you ever seen the movie?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd add it, this song particularly in it, though.
I absolutely would.
Okay. All right.
We get back here with you on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by LPL Financial, Financial Nashville, and Patrick Conger. Wealth management advice for you no matter your current situation or stage in life. We're talking a little college ball, basketball, that is. And as it is very, very early in the season, just for funsies, and this will mean absolutely nothing unless you get it dead on, then you can have bragging rights on it. The way too early Final Four. What are four teams that you think are capable of making the Final Four? I will begin with Nicholas Frazier.
Thank you very much. The number one team, in my opinion, that's a number one seed that may go to the Final Four, it'd be Duke. I think
really?
What John Shire has done at Duke, the transition from Coach K to him, he's a former player. He understands the culture. And also, too, he understands – when I talk about Stephen Pearl, about the roster structure and NIL stuff, that's what he understands particularly. And his offensive philosophies as well are impressive to watch when it comes to Duke basketball. I remember him when I was in grade school watching him as a three-point threat for Duke. And now that he's the coach, he tends to really – trend in that Coach K coaching tree, but not to the same degree as K. It's a little bit more of like the new generation style of coaching. So, again, he has that team clicking on all cylinders last year, and going into this year, I think it'll tend to the same thing. That's one of the teams. The other one I'd probably go with would be – oh, boy, that's tough. I'll go with Let's go with Purdue. Purdue's bringing back some teams. I'd say Purdue.
I don't know about that, buddy.
Another team I do like is UConn. I think Dan Hurley, that's another team that's not being talked about a lot. As for my fourth team, I don't know. That's a tough call. I'll have to go back and look at maybe the top 25 as I have it in front of me. Excuse me.
Pardon me.
Yeah. This is Johnny on the spot. This is tough. I'm trying to pick a team that's a dark horse in the top 25. I'll go with Michigan State.
Yeah.
Why not?
Go green.
Yeah. Go white.
Yeah.
Let's go with Michigan State.
Be so happy with you.
So I'm going to go Michigan State, UConn. I'm going to take Purdue out. I'm actually going to put Kentucky, actually.
I love you so much. Yeah.
I'm going Kentucky, UConn.
Kentucky beat Purdue, by the way.
Did they?
Yeah. Exhibition that didn't count.
Oh.
But still, starters played. It counted in my heart.
So there's my top four.
There you
Kentucky,
go.
Kentucky, UConn, Michigan State, and Duke.
Christian, go.
Let's see. First off, I'm going to go Houston just because it seems like they've brought a lot of that team back from last year that made it all the way to the championship game.
Yeah, they did.
So I think Houston, you would hope for – I actually like Kelvin Sampson a lot. I hope he gets it done at some point, even though they did knock us out last year. And for some reason, my dumb self went to that game. Second up, I'll go Duke. Just I know that could be controversial for one person in this studio right now, but I'm going to go with Duke. I think from what I've seen so far, it's
pretty
clear.
Not controversial. Duke's a good team.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they have Final Four. But
oh, I just meant the Duke-Kentucky rivalry. That's what I meant by controversial more so than anything, to be honest. But, yeah, from what I've watched so far, they seem like one of the best four teams. And then third, I'm going with Florida. I know they lost to Arizona the other night, but they didn't exactly look like world beaters, you know, one game into the season last year either, from what I remember. So I think Florida's got plenty of time to get it all figured out. And then fourth, I'm going UConn. I think UConn gets back to the Final Four this year after kind of a blip last year, only being were they 8 or 9 last year? I think they were eight.
They were an 8.
Yeah, and then still almost took Florida out themselves. So
yeah,
I think I'll go with UConn for my fourth team. And then I also put – I think St. John's could be on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
You're 200 Patino. I could see that happening.
St. John's makes mine. I really like St. John's. I like Rick Pitino. I like the team that he's put together. He's got the number one transfer class in the entire nation this season playing on his team. They got a big one today. They play Alabama, so that'll be a fun one to watch. They're in. Kentucky is in, to no one's surprise. I think this is a team that has the elite tools to get there. They have the coach. They have the shooting talent. It's just a matter of staying healthy and winning the games that you're supposed to win. So I think they're capable of doing that. I'm going to go Florida as well. Florida, as a texter on our text line, asked, did we discuss them as contenders or pretenders? No, but Florida is absolutely a contender.
Yeah.
They lose a little bit in the to the draft. They lose their top three guards, actually, but they reload. They get the kid from Princeton, whose name I'm blanking on. They get Boogie Flan from Arkansas, and then they've got elite center presence. So I think Florida is a national title contender at this point. Todd Golden's a great coach. They're a good team. They've got a lot of depth. They are probably the team to beat in the SEC right now. And then fourth,
Xavier Lee,
there, yes. Thank you. Fourth is a bit of a wild card. Michigan.
Whoa.
I like Michigan because I like Dusty May. I think he's a good coach. They got maybe the number one, number two player in the portal, because Kentucky got the number one in Jaden Quaintance. Mm-hmm. The number two player in the portal was Yaxel Lundenberg. And Yaxel Lundenberg basically pulled out of the NBA draft. He was pretty much a first-round pick lock, pulled out of the NBA draft to go play for Dusty May and Michigan. Michigan, I think, is a team that a lot of people are not talking about. They're a dark horse to me, but I think they're a team that can absolutely go in and win the Big Ten. The Big Ten is not a deep basketball conference outside of Purdue, and Purdue, I think, is pretty overrated. Braden Smith is about all they got, and then other than that, it's kind of just like they've got 3-4 seed written all over them to me.
Right.
Michigan, I think, is the kind of team that you could see in as a 2 seed. They've got the shooting. They've got the post presence. They've got the coaching. They're a good team. So Michigan would be my final four would be Kentucky, Florida, St. John's, and Michigan.
Wow. I like the variety out of that.
Yeah.
My favorite part was the Purdue hate.
Yeah. Well, Purdue is not good. Speaking of dark horses, watch out for Georgetown. I know that sounds like straight out of 1991.
Yeah.
Georgetown's a lot better than people think they are.
Okay.
They beat Maryland last night. Coach Buzz Williams and Maryland. So watch out for Georgetown.
Good to know. I'm fascinated from your knowledge of college basketball. For me, it's just way too early to see like the deep dive. I gotta see like a good sample size.
It's never.
Yeah, I agree. I also thought you were gonna say Georgia when I heard was George. I was like, Georgia, really? But Georgetown.
Watch out for George Plaster. What a dark horse that guy.
Yeah.
Is.
Hey, you never know.
What a dark horse that guy is. Tonight on Totally Hits 93.3, catch MTSU men's basketball as the Blue Raiders take on Webster, wherever that is, at 6:30 p.m. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with our favorite game and a debut of our favorite game, Christian Skelton versus Nick Frazier in Where Are They Now? I Will Host. That's all coming up next right here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Weekend Huddle broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And as we end our show today, we play the return of our favorite game ever. America's fastest rising game. We still got to beat celebrity birthdays, but we'll get there. It is Where Are They Now? And Christian, you've never played this game before, so I will refresh the rules. There are a list. I've comprised a list of 5 former players and or coaches. Your job is to tell me where they are now. It is 1 point for the specific league, 2 point, and well, actually 1 point for specific league, 2 points for the exact team. The first 3 are in North America. The last 2 are anywhere in the world. In the event of a tie, I'll give you the career path of a former athlete, and you tell me who it is. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay. And hit it. And we are presented by, do you want to say it, Frazier?
Possibly you.
Together at CromwellMedia.com. All right. Our first contestant of today's contest. Former Tennessee Volunteer cornerback. A known hated Volunteer quarterback. He put up his dukes and went into a fist fight against a Florida player with his helmet on. Where is Kamal Haddon?
Who goes first? Do I go first?
You can go first.
Go ahead.
You
please.
Go first.
Last I heard was the Packers. I'll stick with that. Give me the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, so he's in the NFL with the Packers.
I'm going NFL, and I'm going to go Minnesota Vikings.
He is in the NFL, so you both get a point for that. He is playing for Sue Skelton's Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow. Okay. So I think that's who he originally got drafted by. He must have gone back. Okay. Well then.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So we are tied at 1. Number 2. Former Kentucky Wildcat. Wildcat point guard legend. Tyler Ulis. Where is he now?
Is he still on Coach Calipari's coaching staff at the University of Arkansas?
I don't know. Is he? Nick Frazier?
That is my final guess.
So, college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Gonzaga.
He is in college basketball, and he is coaching with John Calipari on the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Darn.
So the 3-pointer right there.
Yikes.
A quick 4-2 lead. You still get a point, though.
Yeah.
Tyler Ulis coaching with Arkansas in a big traitor move. A former Nashville Predator. A man who I think should have a statue outside of that stadium. Max Hurst and I talk about him all the time. The first Predator I ever met while I was working here. Where is Preds legend, Philip Tomasino?
I think I know this. Philip Tomasino is in the NHL playing for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Christian?
It's definitely the NHL. I'll go with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
He is in the NHL playing for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Boom.
So it is, we're not at
five to four.
No, he got one.
Wait, can I ask you, if he said the Penguins, I could have said the Penguins too, right?
Yeah, you could.
Okay,
you
I assume, repeat, yeah. I thought my answer was the Lightning, but I assumed that, okay, cool.
Okay, we have moved to the north, or outside of North America for our final two. Our next contestant, Dobbins Bennett legend, former Tennessee Volunteer, and I hope to God Sue Skelton's listening to this show. Where is John Fulkerson?
Wow. So he is, gosh, what country is he in? Austria.
Playing for? This is the part where we just make up a random team.
What was the team that, who was that? That was KK Mega Basket. That'll be my answer. I don't remember who was playing for some former Vol. It might have been Urosh. It was Urosh.
KK Mega Basket.
Something like that. I don't remember what country, but it was something Mega Basket. That's all I remember.
KK Mega Basket.
I'm going to say, I don't know why I know this. I don't think this is right, but I know Frank Kaminsky is playing in Asia. And I think he's on the same team as
you don't
him.
You don't have to talk about Frank Kaminsky in front of me.
Okay.
He hurt me.
Sorry.
Like 10 years ago. And I'm still mad at him for it.
Anyways, I think they play in Shanghai together.
The Shanghai Sharks?
Yeah.
This is a shocking one to me. Because I didn't know they had a basketball team. He's playing in Italy for Juventus.
Oh, Juventus, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know. I guess it's like Real Madrid and FC Barcelona.
They're a full club.
Yeah. So
I forgot about that.
He's playing in the former home of Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's a good thing to know for this game in the future. Just name a soccer team, and that you never know. You might get it.
That's my strategy.
It's a new strategy. Okay, good.
Throwing a dart at the dartboard.
So we are knotted at five with our final contestant coming up here. And I forgot to write it down, so I asked ChatGPT where he is. Let me pull it up here. Ah, yes. Former Miami Hurricane legend. Former guard, March Madness legend at that. Former Boston Celtic, Shane Larkin.
Shane Larkin. Oh, man. Shane Larkin is in Europe playing in Spain.
For?
The Spanish. I don't know. The Spanish Olays.
I mean, that has to be some sort of conflict, but. Anyways,
the Spanish Bulls. There you go.
There you go.
That's better.
I'll go with Spain, too. I'll say he's playing for Barcelona.
He's playing in Turkey for Anadolu Efes Istanbul.
Istanbul.
Gosh, we were so close. We were so close, Nick.
Got to jump a few borders.
Rolls right off the tongue. Okay, so we're knotted at five.
Uh-oh.
I got to come up with a player here because I was not anticipating this.
This career trajectory, is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
So please discuss amongst yourselves while I get this.
I got to say, Christian, good job on the first run here right now.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, the international ones I'm never going to be confident in. Yeah. I can see where you got to get your points now.
We started
for
this.
For future reference.
You know, not today, but when we started this segment, it was very baseball driven because there were a lot of baseball players that were American / Dominican
right,
that played in Asia and or other countries. So yeah, this is definitely a new twist of things. We added coaches not too long ago, I'd say about a month or so.
The coaches, if it was just coaches, I'd be somewhat confident, I think, but
yeah, exactly.
Depends on which coaches we're talking about too.
All right. We're going back to the roots of this program.
Okay.
Of this show. We're going to baseball.
Ooh.
All right, so here are the teams that this player played for. Kansas City Royals, Milwaukee Brewers, Cincinnati Reds, Colorado Rockies, Los Angeles Angels, Chicago White Sox.
I have my answer.
Go ahead.
Give me Mike Moustakas.
Mmm, That's Nick Frazier? Great answer.
I can't go with Mike Moustakas. I'm going to go with Ryan Braun. I know that's incorrect, but let's go Ryan Braun.
It is Mike Moustakas.
Let's go.
Christian Skelton,
the fourth highest paid player on our payroll right now, or something like that.
World Series champion in 2012.
Love it.
With the Kansas City, or I'm sorry, 2014.
Yep.
With the Kansas City, 2015.
2014, yeah. It's 50. Hard. 1 year they lose, 1 year they win. Yeah, whatever.
The Moose on the walk-off. Congratulations to you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Nick, thank you for being a good sport.
And the way we do this is if you win, you get to host next week. So you will come up with the list next week.
Oh, I get to host. I thought you meant the show. I get to host the segment. I was like, oh, okay.
Easy, pal.
I was like, wow, okay, my second week. Okay, easy, host the pal. Show. Okay, easy, or host pal. The segment. That makes more sense.
Calm down there. All right. That'll do it for us today.
Indeed.
Good show.
Fun show.
Fun show. Lots of college talk today. Stay tuned because Vanderbilt football is coming up on 102.5 The Game. They take on Auburn, kickoff at 2:30. So pregame will begin, I believe, at 1, if I'm not mistaken. Vanderbilt basketball is going to be over on 8:30 a.m. if you're interested in that. Stay tuned on 93.3 Classic Hits for MTSU as they take on FIU. Should be a fun one to watch. Yeah. And then right after that, they've got basketball as well. They take on some team you'll never hear of again.
Webster State, right?
Webster, which I didn't know existed.
I didn't know a lot of teams existed in college. That's the beauty about it.
We learn a lot. We learn a lot.
But I will say there is a lot of stuff today on our airwaves. Check it all out. You can go check it out at the Game Nash or 102.5 The Game's Twitter. We'll have you covered with all this stuff. You'll love every bit of it. Like we talked about earlier, radio – it's free. You're listening to great broadcasts, so go ahead. 102.5 is your place to go.
Indeed. It's been a fun show. We've had a lot of fun with you. Let's do it again next week, shall we?
We shall.
For Christian Skelton and Nick Frazier, my name is Connor Newt saying goodbye. We'll see you next week. Stick around. Vanderbilt football taking on Auburn coming up here shortly. Stay tuned. This is 102.5 The Game. Yesterday's too long ago.